Reading with your kids.
Hola, ni hao, konnichiwa, assalamu alaikum, shalom, mahaba, ciao, bonjour, namaste, jumbo, bienvenidos, hey, my name is Jed Lee, welcome to Reading with Your Kids. We are coming to you from the beautiful, wonderful, historical neighborhood of Reedville in the southwest corner of Boston, Massachusetts. We are so delighted and so very honored that you join us in our mission to help all families grow closer through reading. We do that by sharing fun, thoughtful, and thought-provoking conversations with fascinating people who just happen to be writing books for kids of all ages. You can join us in that mission by telling all of your family and friends about the show and letting them know that they can hear us on the WREB AM-FM 24/7 radio network. And they can find us on the iHeartRadio app, on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Good Pods, Podcast Addict, Audible, CastBox, Player FM. Wherever you find your favorite shows, you can find Reading with Your Kids. Wonderful show lined up for you today. First up, Stephen Joseph and Andy Case are here to celebrate Snoodles in Space, Escape from Zootraz. Later in the show, Bex Tobin Fine returns to the show to celebrate Floor It. Well, let you know that this episode of Reading with Your Kids is also brought to you by We're Going on a Space Adventure, written by Marie Nichols. This is a Reading with Your Kids certified great read. Blasting off and speeding through space, Graham cheers to the moon and beyond. But Bracken quickly learns that Graham has a fear of flying and that he must manage control of the spaceship. On the moon, they narrowly escape a hideous monster as a crater explodes, and on Mars, they need to outrun Martian creatures or risk becoming their dinner. Hoping to find a friendlier planet, they decide to try Jupiter. Then clank, 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 something is attacking the spaceship. You and your kids are going to love this book. It's fun. It's exciting. It celebrates intergenerational friendships, and we love those. We're going on a space adventure by Marie Nichols. It is a Reading with Your Kids certified great read.
Hey, guys. Author Ashley Mosley here. And I teamed up with author, educator, and scientist Dr. Michael Wendelspeck. And together, we are bringing the wildlife of Belize right into your hands. Kids will meet real animals like jaguars and tapirs in Nacho House Cat and Why Did the Tapir Cross the Street? Both books beautifully illustrated by local student artists. In these books, we will learn the challenges that these animals face in the wild. For teachers, Inspired Adventures offers K-5 toolkits packed with age-appropriate activities that connect literacy, science, and conservation. Our newest book, This Birdie Told Me, landed on the shelves on September 23rd. Visit InspiredAdventures.com to get your copy. Let's keep the adventure going.
Hey, families, would you like to share a miracle with your kids? At the Wolf Conservation Center, hope was fading. The endangered Mexican wolves dreamed of a pup, but none had come. Until one tiny miracle changed everything. Meet Trumpet, a real-life wolf pup whose incredible birth brought joy, hope, and a lesson in conservation. Trumpet the Miracle Wolf, written by Leocadia George, is a heartwarming true story that will inspire your whole family. Teach your kids the power of hope, love, and protecting endangered species. Get your copy today and join the wild adventure. We are in for a treat. We are here to celebrate a brand new picture book. It's the fourth book in the series. It's called Snoodles in Space, Escape from Zootraz. Please welcome first from New Jersey, returning to the show, the author, Stephen Joseph. Stephen, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me again.
Yes, and joining us from Nottingham in the United Kingdom, the illustrator, Andy Case. Hey, Andy, how are you?
Hi, Jed. Thanks for having me. I'm great. Thank you.
Delighted to have you on. I've heard so much about you. Stephen's been on the show celebrating all the Snoodle books, and he always refers to as my great and talented illustrator.
That's right.
Right, too kind. He is too kind. But it's been a great process working on these books, and I'm loving doing them, and I hope more for the future.
Yeah. So, Stephen, remind everybody, who are we going to meet in Snoodles in Space?
Who we're going to meet? Well, you have Herbie Snoodleman. He invented the Snoodle that runs on noodles. And then, of course, there's the Zoodles that's run by Crudel the Grand Roodle. And you have his cast of characters, which includes Dr. Quackadoodle, Voodoo Cadoodle, Doodoo Cadoodle, Evil Cadoodle, and I might be forgetting a few Cadoodles along the way. And in this book, we have new characters. Every book has a new poodle, so we have Floodle the Poodle, and it tells about the exciting music scene that's happening in Noodleham. And that's where everything starts.
I have to ask, the town of Noodleham, was that a tip of the cap to Nottingham?
Yeah, it was. It was too easy. I couldn't pass it up.
I love it.
If I said Noodleburg, you know, like, what's Andy going to think? He's going to Noodleburg. Where are you getting Noodleburg from?
I love that. Andy, how did you, when you first connected with Stephen and he told you about these crazy noodle and schnoodles, what was your first thought?
This is not a book that I've ever done before. I usually get ones about hedgehogs and mice go on adventures into woods. And then I get this crazy cars running on noodles and then the Krautmobile with sour crudelman. It was the craziest script I've ever read. And it just coincided with me stopping teaching for a while, and I've gone into doing it full time. And I just went crazy with it. I started having loads of ideas. It just gave me loads of energy as an illustrator. So I started thinking of this as not just a script, but as a universe of people. I started adding things into the background of the book. Like in the first book, there's a mayor competition. It's never mentioned, but in several of the pictures in the book, you will see people running for mayor and posters in all the shops. And I think it all started from there. Me and Stephen, we started chatting on email. I'd send him lots of stuff. I'd end up doing loads more illustrations than I was actually, you know, commissioned to do. And it just went from there. And then Stephen created Snoodles in Space. And a whole universe of characters came in. And it's literally just snowballed from there. But this one, Escape from Zoodle Traz, is my favorite so far.
Yeah. Stephen, what did you think of all the little Easter eggs that Andy sprinkled into the illustrations for the series?
Oh, it's fun. But he sprinkles so much more. It's just everything is lots of sprinkles. And that's the fun thing. Like I keep looking at it. You know, it's one thing for readers, which we want to read the book and read it again and again and again to find out different things, to discover different things they didn't see the first time. But I keep reading the book because I have stuff to keep discovering over and over again. So, yeah, it's great.
That really is true. And, Stephen, did you realize when you named the book Escape from Zoodle Traz that it would have a connection to current events? Here we just heard that Alligator Alcatraz was closed down or was going to be.
Yes.
I don't know.
So the inspiration with Zoodle Traz has nothing. I wrote this in December 23. That's mm-hmm. when. So this is before anything happened. Like I couldn't predict Alcatraz being back in the news. And when I first wrote it, Andy, he's out in England. He goes, "What's Alcatraz?" I had to explain Alcatraz to Andy. And the inspiration is really from Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, which was one of my favorite movies as a kid. And there is a prison there I don't remember the name of the prison, but well, the kids, it was this kingdom that didn't have any children, and the children were put in prison. So that's where a lot of this inspiration came from. There's this one character, Grandpa Foodle, who's like this absent-minded, like he's the father of Herbie Stutelman and Sarah Krudelman, and he's kind of this absent-minded professor sort of character. And he was taken from Kitty Kitty Bang Bang. Dick Van Dyke's father was kind of like all over the place, and lovable, of course. So that was this. A lot of it came from Kitty Kitty Bang Bang.
Cool, so cool. That I love that, Andy. One of the things we've talked about here on the podcast is that with traditionally published books, there's this firewall between the author and the illustrator, and there's very little to no communication between the two. This was a lot different for you. How did you like working directly with Stephen?
I prefer to work directly with Stephen because he's the one with the vision. It always felt uncomfortable to me to go through a publisher. Oh, does the author like this? I don't know. We'll let you know. And then 2 days later, yes, he's fine with it, but can you make his head bigger? It's really clunky. I like to have a relationship with the author so that I can do a lot more work. I'd go, oh, how do you envisage this? Send me a mood board. Let's do a mind map. Have you thought about adding this? Have you thought about having Time magazine cover into the book? Grandpa Foodle, what does he look like? What does his poodle look like? And if you have that relationship where you're constantly communicating with the author over a period of time, the book just... you start adding 10, 15, 20% more content to the book and maybe adding ideas that the author never really realised. With Snoodles in Space, we started adding comic strips into it because the way it's been written, there's a lot of dialogue. And I said, it'd be good to mix media up. Yeah, you've got some pictures, but if you start adding comic strips and adding a bit of a flow to the dialogue, you start adding more meat to these characters. People start getting into it more. And then suddenly Stephen's writing all the rest of the books with loads of dialogue. And this book, we've got a record, an album that accompanies it because this book is all about music. So we made like an album. It's just growing and growing. But I think that's come because me and Stephen have become great friends whilst doing this. And it's almost like a collaboration.
Yeah, yeah. I understand, Stephen. You and I are friends on social media. You just had a chance to go over and spend some time in the UK with Andy.
Yeah, it was great. It was a lot of fun. It was too short. So, yeah, we went out and had a good time, and Andy showed me around and went in the neighborhood, and the beer was great, the company was great, his friends are great, yeah. It was a lot of fun.
I'm imagining what a schnoodle conversation in an English pub would be like. I don't know if there'd be heads turning to see what you guys are talking about.
We put the cone of silence over us. So of course, yeah, we don't want people to hear what's going on. You know, it's all secret.
What'd you think about the mushy peas over there in the UK, Stephen?
I actually made a comment about that. I said that's the vegetable. We were in some estate, and then there's a restaurant nearby that we went to, and there's this big pile of very mushy peas, and I was saying this is kind of the vegetable that you give to a kid when you don't want them to eat any more vegetables for the rest of your life. But the good thing is that you need to wash you down with lots of beer, and they happen to have lots of beer to wash you down with, so that was good.
He's wrong. Mushy peas are great.
Well, you know,
vegetable.
You know, I jumped in. I'm a big pea lover, and and when I was over there, they came with my fish and chips, and I got to try this, and I tried it, and it's like, okay, this is different. But the more I ate it, the more I agreed with Steve. It's like, this is too weird.
It needs a bit of mint sauce.
It was
beautiful.
It was like this big pile of mushy peas. It was like, there was this fish and chips, and the fish was like this, and the mushy peas was the size of the fish. It was like a big, pile of mushy peas. It wasn't like, you know, just like a, and it was very pretty on the plate, but, and it was not as mushy as I would like. So okay. It was like, you had to chew it, you know, like you needed a fork and knife for the mushy peas, you know, so that's how that was. It was that kind of mushy. It wasn't as mushy as I wanted.
I feel like I need to defend my nation.
Andy, I don't know. I've shared this story with Stephen. Stephen came on the show. Oh boy, I think it was back in 2018 or 2019 to celebrate his first kid's book, the Crankatankosaurus. I'm killing the title. But I was at the Chicago Toy and Game Fair and meeting all these lovely families, and they were checking out some of the books we celebrated on our table in our booth. And there's this one family with, I think there were three young kids, 6, 7, 8, maybe 4, 5, 6, I don't know. And the parents were showing them the books. And then they had a very disinterested teenager, maybe 13 years old. And I turned to her and I said, hey, what kind of books do you like? And she said, I don't like to read. I hate to read. I don't want to read. And I said, well, maybe you just haven't found the right book. And I picked up Stephen's book about the Crankatankosaurus. And I said, just read this. Just read it out loud. I think you'd. And she started reading all the ridiculous rhymes and words. And her face just lit up. And she had such a great time. And she squatted down and she was reading the book to her siblings. And I knew when she walked away that she had found a book that she enjoyed reading. And hopefully it was the first of many.
Yeah. I think that books can take you to a place that like modern media can't. Mm-hmm. Whenever you see like an adaptation, film adaptation of a book, 99% of the time, it's had to take out bits from the book that it can't fit in. It's never really how you would imagine it when you read it. I think reading is a gift that should be given to anybody. And there are so many books out there. So many people are able to publish books now that weren't able to do it before.
Mm-hmm.
So many different genres. There's a book there for everybody. I love Stephen's Crankosaurus series. I have all the books. I love the children's books that we do. And I'm a big reader. I like to read as much as possible.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Stephen, now this is the fourth book in the Schnoodle series. And are we up to 6 or 7 children's books that have come from you?
This is 5. I have 7 total books. I have 2 adult books, 2 books on crankiness.
Yep.
The Grown Up Guide to Effective Crankiness, Cranky Superpowers. And then this is my 5th book with Andy.
Wonderful, wonderful. And, you know, you had this, and we've talked a little bit about this in the past. You've had this incredibly successful career as an attorney and in corporate life. And this is a complete, you know, a complete new journey for you. How are you loving being in this space and creating in this space?
I want to quit my day job. No, it's fun. It's fun. There's nothing I could think of in my life, even, well, you know, having my daughter, but that's been more rewarding. It's just, and it's like, you know, again, collaborating with Andy, there's nothing better. And I talk about this a lot, the difference between writing an adult book and a children's book. And children's book is the collaboration. And I can't even imagine. I did it the first time. The first time I didn't even know Andy. I went through the publisher. They showed me about 75 different illustrators. I had to pick 3. And out of the 3, I picked Andy. But I never communicated with Andy. Everything went through the publisher.
Mm-hmm.
And then I reached out to Andy when I got the idea for this the Snoodles book, the first Snoodles book. And yeah, it brings it up to a different level, and there's nothing more fun than that.
Yeah, that's wonderful. I'm curious, Stephen. I know that you are a long distance runner, and as well as an attorney and a children's author. As you're doing those half marathons and marathons, do you have all these schnoodle ideas running around, or do you eat a big bowl of noodles before you go out there and to energize yourself?
A lot of stuff happens when I'm running. Yeah, Yeah, it was December. Yeah, everything was popping. And then, you know, it's just right in the middle of the run, you get another idea. And it's just, I feel like I just like fly up like 10 feet. Yeah, it's great.
Wow.
Like another piece of the puzzle. I think more of it. I like to cook. So, mm-hmm. It's really about, like making, like I keep tasting and tasting, and eats a little of this, a little of that. And once I have like the base, like the soup base in the pot, and I'm out running, you know, it's just like, it's like, then the seasoning happens. I then I go, oh, I need a little add of little this and add a little of that and a little of that. And then, and the best part, this is the collaboration part towards the end. Like we already have the book and, you know, like Andy sends me the first draft. So then there's like the final little ideas. So we changed, Tango Tina wasn't Tango Tina in the first draft, but I go, oh, like created a dance theme with her and Pepe. And then they have a dance studio. So Andy, of course, drafts up this great new page that they have the tango zoodle dance at the end. And you have these octa sharks and little tutus. And it was hysterical. And then the other thing, like the first beginning of the book, there was the mayor's speech. He's giving the state of the city speech. And, I thought having the deaf interpreter, because like I remember watching, I was like New York, during COVID, Cuomo would always give the state of the COVID situation. You would have the deaf interpreter there. So I said, we need a deaf interpreter. So like, I love those little added touches at the end. And you can only do that with, you know, when we're working together. It would never happened. You know, if I was working through the publisher, this is it. All right. You know, I guess it's good, you know, and then you put it out there. And I remember even the first book, like I did have changes. Well, you only have like two more to go, you know, like then we'll have to charge you for the changes. Okay. All right. So I have three. All right, I'll pay for the third change, whatever it was. But that's how working through the publisher went. You know, it's just you only get so many. Don't keep changing it. You know, it's just so it kind of handcuffs you. And me and Andy, like collaborating, we're going back and forth the whole time. We're just, you know, Andy might have an idea. What do you think about blah, blah, blah? Oh, I think that's a great idea. So that's such a big difference, and it shows in the book.
Yeah, that's phenomenal. Andy, do you wish that you were able to collaborate with all the authors you illustrate for?
Yeah, increasingly. I have, I co-run a publishing company with my partner, Debbie, and a lot of my former authors come to me and Debbie to work on their books, and we have a package together, which means that I can have this process that I do with Stephen. It's not like with Stephen. Stephen's unique. That's why our books end up being 80 pages long. The ideas just keep flowing. Oh, what about this? Oh, we could have this. Let's have an activity book. Let's do an album. Grand Farfoodle, he's this kind of character. Maybe he should be here. You can't stop the ideas. We take a script that's like 2-3 pages, and then it becomes 10 pages. It's almost like we have to stop and rein it in and go, oh, we can only fit this into one book.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea that what Stephen was saying is about the publishing company almost getting in the way of the creative process and adding limitations to it is true, which is why it was so refreshing when we did the first Noodles book. We were able to communicate because we were sending emails back and forth, and I was sending them just stupid ideas that came to me as I was drawing these pages. And he was embracing, going, this is brilliant, let's do this. And then it would lead to something else. We started adding newspaper articles into the first book, and we had a Time magazine page, but it was spelt like the herb, T-Y-M-E.
Uh-huh.
And just started being so hilarious, and it spurred my mind as an author. I mean, as an illustrator, sorry. Uh-huh. I didn't feel so cooped up by the publishing process. And now that we have this whole setup where the books go through our own almost like process from editing through to publishing, it's so much freer. We can do so much more, and the books have just benefited from that.
That's really fantastic.
The one thing, can I just interrupt also, because this is an interesting point, that this, one of the amazing things, the collaboration with this, like Andy's like, we have three books, and then Andy goes, oh, you have to write something else. And I go, I have nothing. And then one day, Andy goes, I'm releasing, he also sings and he makes music, his own music, and he has an album coming out. Like back, this was November 23, his first album, Leap of Faith, is on Spotify. All the songs are great. So he has this album out and I'm listening to it. This is great. And there's one song, Lost Souls in the Dark, and I hear the guitar playing and I hear like these like snoodle ships going to the rescue, and like while I'm listening to the song during my run. And then there's another song called Break Free, and again the guitar almost feels like a spaceship taking off from a planet, like lifting up, like you're breaking free. So his music actually, you know, I said, you know, Kitty Kitty Bang Bang, that was one influence, but this whole story came about in my head because Andy decides to make a rock album. Yeah, so, which is like a great rock album. Yeah, so that's where the collaborate, the amazing magic, you know, it's just, it's like a magical thing working together. Andy has a great voice. I could listen to his voice all day.
Awesome. Well, is there a new Schnoodle book in the works?
It is one in my head. It's on the, so every book there's a new museum, a new venue, there's a new pool. So the first one was the art museum. The second book had a space exploration museum. The third book had this aquarium. This book has this music venue on Zoodle Trask. So I'm thinking, the Zoodle Olympics, so making it sports related. So that's one in my head. And it's almost like a gladiator type scene, like the movie Gladiator, where Cloodle the Grand Roodle actually faces off against evil Cadoodle at the end. And you don't have like a knife fight, but there's like crocodoodles, which start chasing Cloodle, and it doesn't turn out too well for Cloodle.
Ooh, well, we can't wait. And you have an open invitation to come back and celebrate that book. In the meantime, Stephen, let's tell everybody where they can go to find out more about Snoodles in Space, Escape from Zoodle Trask, the Tarantic Crankosaurus, and your other cranky books for adults.
Well, right now I have my website, StephenJosephAuthor.com. Andy is working on creating our own Snoodleverse website. It's under construction that will have everything on the Snoodles and a lot more, and like a jukebox for the music. So that's under creation. So that's coming up. So in the back of the book, there's like this QR code that eventually, the book is coming out October 28th. We will have the website up. You just take a picture of the QR code. It takes you right to the website.
Awesome. And Andy, where can we go to find out more about your illustrations, your publishing company, and your music?
If you go to andycaseillustration.com, there are links to all the books I've done, links to the publishing company as well. All Snoodle stuff is on there as well. And if you go to andycasemusic.bandcamp.com or Spotify, you can hear all about my music. My new album comes out in the new year. So please take a listen.
Awesome. We've had a great time speaking to the author and illustrator of Snoodles in Space, Escape from Zootatraz. Our guests have been Stephen Joseph and Andy Case. Guys, have a great rest of the day. Thanks for being on Reading with Your Kids.
Thanks for having me, Kit.
Thank you, Jed.
This episode of Reading with Your Kids is brought to you by Once Upon a Dance, onceuponadance.com. Are you tired of your kids spending way too much time in front of their screens? Once Upon a Dance offers unplugged storytime adventures. Read, move, and imagine together. Created by a dance educator, this award-winning collection blends movement with whimsy. Perfect for families, classrooms, and libraries. Bring stories to life. Visit onceuponadance.com or order Once Upon a Dance books at your favorite bookstore. Before we invite our guests into the studio, I would love to invite you to visit a very special website. It's clownswithoutborders.org, clownswithoutborders.org. This is a group that I absolutely adore. I am part of Clowns Without Borders, and I had the honor of being part of the 2023 tour of El Salvador. I had so much fun joining with artists from all over the world to bring a smile to people who really needed it and really appreciated it too. And we would love for you to join us as a monthly joy maker. The joy makers, they're a family of people just like you who love to laugh and make other people feel good. So please take a moment and visit clownswithoutborders.org and consider joining me as a joy maker. Are you looking for a creative way to bond with your kids? Let me tell you all about Drawing with Your Kids, the ultimate destination for artistic adventures. Join us as we dive into the wonderful world of children's books with renowned illustrators guiding you step by step. From beloved characters to whimsical scenes, unleash your imagination and create cherished memories together. Whether you're a seasoned artist or just picking up a pencil, there's something for everyone at Drawing with Your Kids. Please visit our website, readingwithyourkids.com, and click on the Drawing with Your Kids link at the top of the page and let the creativity flow. Drawing with Your Kids, where every stroke brings stories to life. Join us right now from the beautiful, absolutely beautiful province of Nova Scotia in Canada. Our guest is here today to celebrate. Her new picture book is called Florid. Please welcome back to Reading with Your Kids, Bex Tobin Fine. Bex, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for having me back, Jed.
Love having you on, and I'm delighted that we're speaking to you. I feel like part of me is back in Nova Scotia, a place that is just so wonderful and a place that has this really magical and beautiful connection with my city of Boston. It is just fabulous. The folks up in Nova Scotia send us a beautiful Christmas tree every year. And Bex looks like she doesn't know this. So Bex, many, many years ago, we had a guest come on and tell the story. There was during World War II, I think, there was an arms ship in the harbor at Halifax. And the ship was in Halifax Harbor or the river, whatever, but it was there, and it exploded. And it destroyed a major part of the city of Halifax, absolutely just wiped it out. And it's the middle of the winter, and people don't have homes, they don't have clothes, they don't have food. And the city of Boston, folks in the city of Boston, that already had a lot of connections with the maritime provinces, just gathered things up and sent provisions and clothes and tents and whatnot up to Nova Scotia. And ever since then, the people of Nova Scotia have thanked us by sending us this beautiful, ginormous Christmas tree.
You know what? I might have heard something about this story before, but you told it perfectly. Oh my goodness. That's so perfect. But that's actually really funny because now I feel like we're speaking about my first book, You Are Home, instead of Florit, because that's all about finding home and being comfortable wherever you are and being taken care of by community. So that is so funny. Oh, yeah. My goodness. But I can transition into Floret because of the beautiful nature of Nova Scotia, if you'd like.
Transition any way you want.
All right. Well, Floret, with published by Random House, is about the adventure of a baby crawling across the living room floor to reach their parent, but it becomes this huge, exciting adventure of imagination filled with cars and so much excitement when baby's imagination takes hold. And there is a lot of nature imagery in it, too.
So. I love it. We forget. And I really want to encourage everybody to try to remember, especially parents of young kids, to understand that our kids are doing everything for the first time. And, you know, Bex and I were talking about me traveling around the beautiful island of Puerto Rico with my wife. And I remember the very first time we traveled to this town called Isabella. You kind of go up this hill, and when you crest, as you're coming around the corner, you're up on top of a hill and you're looking out into this beautiful vista of ocean and mountains. And it is just the most amazing sight in the world. And it's that moment of awe that you just love. But that's what our kids experience. Like, our babies are experiencing that, like, every second of their new life.
That is amazing that you say that, because that's exactly what Floret's about. It really is. Okay, so basically, adults are often just going around their lives, just taking everything for granted and thinking of it all as this boring, everyday drudge. Oh, we've seen this before. We're doing it again. Who cares? But exactly, babies and kids are seeing it all for the first time. It's so fresh for them, and it's so amazingly exciting. And things that seem everyday to adults are these amazing adventures for babies. So in Floret, the main character, whose name is Baby, they're going around the living room. And yeah, the living room, dining room has chairs and tables and carpets, all the things you expect. But for Baby, each one of these things becomes this amazing nature-inspired, crazy adventure. So table legs and chair legs become a forest of trees, and a carpet becomes a whole meadow of tickly grass. And when their cat spills a bowl of water on the floor, that's a whole lake. And, I mean, a sibling painting and doing watercolors, well, that's exciting to begin with. But that becomes a waterfall to Baby, and this crazy thing that they have to get around and make their way past. And so every little regular thing becomes something so exciting for the baby. Yeah.
I love that. And, you know, as you're speaking and you mentioned that the table and chairs, the image that just immediately popped into my mind was a forest. And I absolutely, it's like, yeah. I'm there. I'm on the floor. I'm on all fours. And I'm at the edge. I might be there pretty soon too with a diaper on and, you know, but, yeah, I could absolutely see a baby amongst the chairs and the tables. And it's like, yes, that looks absolutely like a forest.
So what's funny is that when I was first thinking about this book, I basically became a baby again myself also. So it started because I was listening to this video of this random editor, and they were saying that they really wanted to see a book from the perspective of a baby. And I'm not sure what they meant, but for me, immediately, I stopped everything I was doing, and I took out a pen, and I started writing about the fact that I needed to write about being a baby, being inside a baby, and not inside a baby. Oh my goodness, it sounds like they ate me. What is that? No, but being from the perspective of a baby and getting down on all fours, just like you said. So I immediately thought of my very first memory which was I couldn't even speak yet, so I couldn't tell anybody about this. And I don't even think I could properly stand, but I could crawl, and I was crawling up the stairs of my childhood home. And during some renovation, people had left a couple of paint splotches that adults didn't even notice. They would walk up and down those stairs every day and not notice them. But to me, I still remember being myself and looking at those paint splotches as I crawled past them and kind of staying there on the stairs and studying them and seeing that one looked like this bird and one looked like a crescent moon and just thinking these were the most amazing discoveries that anyone had ever made. I was a discoverer. and so from there, I thought about how really for a baby, the floor is the only thing that's truly accessible. It's truly their own because anywhere else they have to be lifted to it, they have to be carried, they have to be brought to it. But you can put a baby down on the floor and it is their realm, it is their home, and they can do whatever they want. And so I thought, well, the floor, I mean, that really doesn't sound very exciting. Probably to an adult, but there are so many different textures, so many different things to see and things to find. And of course, all the furniture that we think of as ordinary, well, it comes down to the floor too. And so that's where kind of the perspective of seeing all these everyday objects in this more exciting way kind of came from.
Now, in writing the book or in researching for the book, did you actually get down on all fours and crawl around and maybe do some goo goo gaga? I don't know. What was your process?
I wish I had some method acting in there. I wish I could say that. That would be so wonderful. But I guess this is where imagination comes in. But yes, in my mind, I really was there on the floor. So I'm sorry to say I did not actually crawl around on the floor. But now that you're saying that, maybe I should check it out. But no, I did though. I imagined it. And so in my head, I was down there on the floor because I had to be able to look at all these things from that perspective. And I think the fun part for this is that from the very beginning, I knew that I wanted the art to tell a lot of the story because, I mean, it's a picture book. I mean, that's the excitement of it. And so I played with that in that my words that I'm saying are very much babies going on this adventure, and they're seeing grass, they're seeing waterfalls, they're seeing mountains. But in the art, you see what baby's actually seeing. Mm. And so in that way, you get to see in the art, you don't necessarily see chairs and tables that obviously they look more like trees, perhaps. And okay, well, you do see the cat spilling the water bowl, but you do, you see the lake. And so in that way, you see the interplay of the art and the words.
Yeah, I it's really wonderful. So I oftentimes will ask authors if it was hard for them to kind of let go and let an illustrator tell part of the story. It sounds like you were looking forward to setting an illustrator loose on your story right from the very beginning.
It's true. It's true. Because although I'm not an artist myself, I think very visually. So whenever I see words of anyone's book, anyone's story, even if it's a story that doesn't have pictures in it, I see all these pictures kind of going through my head. And so whenever I'm writing a story, I see all these pictures going through my head. And then, of course, once you see what the illustrator has done, it doesn't have to be exactly like what I saw in my head, because I know all along that they're going to be telling that part of the story with the illustrations. Mm-hmm. And also I like to give, I don't know if you know, but you can give art notes, right, with a manuscript, and you can say, well, this would be a suggestion for maybe what you might want to include in the art for this page. And so I love doing that kind of to show that, okay, well, I don't have to take all the onus on me with the words. I can give some of that to the illustrator and say, well, here's what I'm seeing now. Have fun and make it your own, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I really like that part.
That's a neat part of the collaboration. I think, and it's still, people listen to the podcast have heard me talk about this in the past, I was really amazed and still somewhat amazed that there's very little actual collaboration between an artist and an author in a traditionally published book by one of the major publishing houses. Have you had a chance to meet, either in real life or via Zoom, either of your illustrators?
Well, what's really, really cool and fun, and you're right, it's not the norm, is with my first book, You Are Home, published by Chronicle Books, I became friends with the illustrator after the fact. So we didn't have anything to do with each other while we were making the book, but then afterwards, we made an activity kit for it where kids could do a word search and write poems of their own and make drawings of their own and cut out little home shapes to make a home of their dreams. And so we got to do a Zoom call and we got to chat and talk about everything. And so now we are friends. But that's very, I don't think that's very typical. So I haven't yet gotten to meet the illustrator, Federico Fabiani, of this book, but, you know, I can always say hi later. So I'm always open to that because I like that.
One of the neatest experiences I had, on the podcast was, and I didn't know this at the time, but I invited both the author and the illustrator for the interview, and at one point I looked up at the author and she was in tears. I said, "What's wrong?" And she said, "I've so been looking forward to meeting my illustrator, and this is the first time we've met and said hi to each other or anything." And I was like, "Well, hey, I'm going to sit back. You guys chat away."
Your work was done.
My work was done. Yeah.
That's so funny. Yeah.
So what's next for Bex, for you, Bex? What are you working on for future projects?
Oh, well, right now, I'm always working on future projects, but I'm actually still very busy with Florit because I've been doing library and bookstore visits and getting ready for, you know, school visits and all that. So I actually was able to take some of my kind of previous knowledge in music and kind of put it to work for this. So because Florit's all about, you know, imagination and creativity and having fun and kind of doing what you don't usually do in everyday life, I took out my ukulele and I decided to come up with a song which is based on the book, but it's the Florit song. So I made the Florit song. So I wrote that. So I sing that and I played on my ukulele. And then I also took some other car songs that I found from, you know, old singers like Pete Seeger, Woody Guthrie, and like old standards. And I kind of changed the words to make them for cars and to specifically tailor them to Florit. So, yeah, awesome. So that's fun because I had my first library visit, I think it was last Saturday.
Okay.
And so we had this great time. I 3D printed with my husband's help some keys, and we hid car keys, and we searched for those while I was singing and playing. And we had a broken car that we had to fix, so we needed some help doing that. And we did not just fix it with hammers and wrenches, I can tell you.
Okay.
We fixed it with cats and sticks and books and anything we could think of. So we had a great time playing with music and cars. And so it was very different from what I would necessarily think of doing for a book. It ended up being so musical, but it was really fun, and I think the kids enjoyed it as much as I did.
Awesome. So it's coming soon to a stage near you, Florit the musical.
Yes, there you go. We'll put in some dance numbers too, okay?
Yes, I can see it now. We're down on our knees pretending that we're little babies and we can't really walk that well and we're kind of flipping and flopping. Yes, it could be a hit. Could go to Broadway.
Exactly. Yeah. No, but it was a nice experience working on the book and writing it, because with this one, I really felt like you could really see the collaborative process in it, because even from the beginning. So I told you, I started with just the idea that this needed to focus on the floor and it needed to focus on adventures and kind of bringing imagination into everyday life. Mm-hmm. And I really saw the nature imagery right away. But when I finally shared a draft with my agent, she saw that I had included this kind of these car metaphors and terminology and even some racing lingo. And she said, oh, this is great. Let's jack this up. Let's use some more car terminology. Let's get the racing in there. And so what started as, you know, oh, there's some car and racing terminology in here, became let's fit as much, you know, fun car stuff into every page as we could. I'm using the royal we here, but no, but it was fun, because the moment she said that, I kind of went crazy, and I took the manuscript and I just worked and worked, adding every bit of car speak that I could. And then, of course, once my editor got a hold of it, she said, well, we've got adventure. Well, we need some more problems. We need this to be more difficult for baby. And I said, oh, yes, I've got it. And I worked and worked to, you know, make baby's quest not so simple. I mean, they get blocked by towers of blocks. They can't get by. And this waterfall, well, you think it's beautiful, but this is dangerous for a baby. It is scary stuff. And so I just love how once everyone kind of had their say, we got to add so much more to this book. And so instead of just kind of the points of entry being nature or imagination, suddenly it was also cars and racing. And, oh, and I shouldn't forget that it's, you know, the importance of siblings being in there, and how they interact with the baby even. And so, yeah, it just became so many other things. And the part that I really like about this is that, you know, there are a lot of books out there about a parent's love for their children, or a parent's love for a baby. But this is really a baby's love for their parent. And this whole story, the baby gets to be the one driving it. And so they're the one in control and in charge of the storyline. And they are doing this huge adventure because they want to get to their parent. Because, of course, what's the most important thing to a baby? Their parent.
Your dad, yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I love that part too.
Yeah. And I love that it's obvious from your expressions and your tone of voice that you love creating children's books and bringing these stories to life. And that is, you've found your happy spot.
It's true. But it is a bit of a problem. It can be a bit of an addiction, because with this story especially, I would have times when I stayed up till 1 a.m., 2 a.m. on my laptop, just typing away and kind of playing with the words and seeing, well, maybe I could do this instead, or maybe I should add this in, or maybe this could be another adventure or another part of the adventure. And so my husband would have to say, can we please go to sleep? I'm tired. So I guess you're right. That is how you know when you've landed in the right place, is when you're just having fun with it and you don't want to put it down.
Yeah. Well, we should tell everybody where they should land if they want to learn more about Floret and find out more about you.
Absolutely. Well, I have my website, mm-hmm. Bex. Woo, that is not my website. It is not. It is www.booksbybex.com. So that's booksbybex.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, of course, you can buy the book wherever books are sold. Mm-hmm. So obviously any independent bookstore is great. And then all the regular spots also.
Yes, and you can go to your local public library, whether you're in Canada or the United States or wherever you are, and ask for the book. And if you do it politely, I bet you they'll put it on the shelves.
Absolutely.
We've had a great time speaking to the author of Floret. It's the brand new picture book from our guest, Bex Tobin. Tobin Fine. Hey, Bex, thanks so much for being back on Reading With Your Kids.
Thank you so much.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Reading With Your Kids and will join us for the next exciting episode of the show. This episode made you smile or gave you something to think about, please consider leaving a 5-star review, maybe sharing the link with your friends. And of course, we'd love for you to subscribe. And we'd also love for you to connect with us on social media, facebook.com/readingwithyourkids, at Reading With Your Kids on Instagram, and at Jedly Magic on Twitter. You can find the podcast on YouTube, youtube.com/readingwithyourkids. We want to thank the folks who made today's show so wonderful, starting with our guests, Stephen Joseph and Andy Case. Please be sure to check out Snoodles in Space, Escape from Zoodletraz, and Bex Tobin Fine. Please be sure to check out Florid. Want to thank my team, Fatima Khan, Chris Daugherty. Want to thank my beautiful wife for all the support she gives me. Most of all, we all want to thank you. Thank you so very much for taking the time to join us today. And as always, thank you so very much for making the world a kinder, smarter, more empathetic place. And you do that every time you read with your kids. I'll be looking for you in the next episode of Reading With Your Kids.